as the day goes along. But now joining us, Sportsnet's Eric Francis. You still in Florida there, Eric?
No, just a long day of travel. Just got back in Calgary. A bit of a temperature shock. I went from 30 degrees to, well, it's 7 in Calgary. It's not bad, but it's not Boca.
Yeah, no, I went through that last week. I went in Toronto. It was like minus 17 when I got off the plane. It was not the best. So I know how you're feeling.
Not quite that piña colada weather anymore, is it?
No,
but I had my fill. It's okay.
A friend of ours, maybe named Andrew Walker, asked us to you like your rum and coke. Best rum down in Boca Raton?
You know, they don't have the Appletons down there as much as I'd like, so I have to revert to the old captain. The captain sailed me right through the meetings.
Absolutely. Captain Horvat was not great last night. But anyways, we'll move on. Dan Riccio and Randy Janna joined by Eric Francis here. So the big takeaway from the meetings, I guess, comes down to the salary cap. I know up at sportsnet.ca now you talk a little bit about the coronavirus. Now, it feels like those two are kind of intertwined of how this could all shape out and the future of where the salary cap goes for the NHL. A lot can be decided with how, you know, things go in terms of attendance and where the economy goes from a world standpoint over the next few months.
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting because we're all reading this stuff and hearing things and worrying about this coronavirus, no doubt about it. I mean, I just spent 9 hours in airports and airplanes, and I can't believe how many masks I'm seeing. And I get it. People are scared. There's fear out there. But the one thing that the commissioner said yesterday when we were chatting with him was, you know what, speculation does nobody any good at this point in time. You know, dealing with hypotheticals is something that this commissioner is way too smart to deal with ever. He can never be baited into hypotheticals. He deals in reality. And the reality is, though, that they could be facing any number of scenarios moving forward. But he didn't want to go down that road other than to say, listen, we've talked about all those different roads that we may have to go down, and we're going to be ready and react accordingly. I mean, there's no rule book on how to deal with a virus like this and how it's going to affect North America. You know, is it going to soon be like it's affecting Europe? None of us know. So they've talked about it extensively. The fact that they haven't thrown any contingency plans out there doesn't mean the NHL is not prepared. I think that's what I came away from the meeting with, and several of the general managers I talked to, they've been updated daily for the last 2 weeks from the NHL, and the NHL is getting their updates from the Center for Disease Control and Health Canada and various European agencies. So they're on top of it. We're all aware that games are starting to be played in Europe without anybody in the stands, and that's something that people start to whisper about here. I can't fathom that would ever be the case, but I also can't fathom that in my lifetime I'd have a virus that people are scared about around the world. So you never know, but they are prepared for sure. And to your point, the salary cap right now, they're saying it'll go up next year based on revenue. But if they take a significant hit from now to the end of the year because of the virus, then absolutely, yeah, the salary cap window that they gave will be on the lower end for sure.
Well, Eric, in terms of that salary cap space and the addition, you know, GMs were expecting it to go up last year as well. We know what ended up happening there, and some of them kind of were stuck in a difficult spot when it came to free agency and re-signing their players. Are GMs still kind of wary based on this coronavirus kind of threat, but overall as well, are they kind of taking it with a grain of salt and more of a wait-and-see approach?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Several of them that I spoke to said, yeah, we're going to pencil that in very lightly, that number that you gave us. And incidentally, for the listeners, you know, the salary cap right now is 81.5, and the window they gave them for next year is 84 to 88.2, somewhere in there, depending on what they negotiate with the players for the, you know, to accelerate that number. So they all take it with a grain of salt. Last year we had an inflated number that didn't come to pass, and it did really hurt a lot of teams that, you know, we're hoping to use that money. I mean, every 2 or 3 million counts, as we all know, for fitting guys under the cap. So they're taking it lightly, but I thought what was most interesting, and I think it's pie in the sky thinking, but Bill Daly, the deputy commissioner, said to me that they're working very closely with the PA in their preliminary talks for a new CBA to try and come up with a mechanism where they can, you know, predict this with some level of certainty, you know, more than just a couple of months down the road. These guys get their definite number in June, like mere days before the draft. It makes it really tough to conduct your business as a general manager. So they're trying to come up with a mechanism. I don't know how they do that, whereas these guys would get not just a month notice, but maybe a year or two notice in terms of what the salary cap would be. But I'm not sure how you ever pulled that off.
Yeah, well, I remember, you know, this past year at the draft here in Vancouver, didn't we learn the number while at the draft? It seemed like it was taking forever. And then they come in at a number that was lower than most people thought, and everybody was kind of in panic mode for a bit. So that just can't happen. It affects the entire offseason. They have to find a way to make it a little bit more predictable, if you will.
Yeah, but again, it's all linked to revenues, and right. Like you guys alluded to off the top, I mean, if the revenues plummet in the last month or two of the season, 3 months of the season, I mean, think about it, guys. This is your prime revenue-generating time. Everybody, you know, what, 20 of the teams or 25 of the teams, whatever the number is, are still in playoff races, and then you got playoff revenue and all the souvenirs that come with that. Teams that generally don't sell a lot of souvenirs suddenly make it to the second or third round, and all of a sudden they're just selling stuff off the shelves like crazy, and revenue goes up. It's, you know, there's so many variables out there. It's hard to pin the league down and criticize them for not being able to nail this one.
Eric Francis, our guest here on Reach Deep. The Pacific Division playoff race, how it's going? I guess Calgary is figuring themselves out a little bit now.
Yeah, they're playing. They like the way they're playing, even though, you know, last night was a bit of a nail biter for them. It took a huge comeback in the third period and to win in overtime. But generally speaking, the players are very happy with the way they're playing. The general manager is very happy with the way they're playing, and you know, they're still plagued by inconsistency. You know, like Vancouver is, like you know, Edmonton is, pretty much everyone in the Pacific. I mean, no one's just chugging along without their blips on the radar. So yeah, Calgary's playing all right now. I still would be quite surprised if Calgary didn't make the playoffs, just based on how deep they are and how good they were last year. You know, and their goaltending's been good. So I still think they should make the playoffs. But, hey, there are a couple teams that are going to surprise me that don't make the playoffs. In that same vein, I'd be surprised if Vancouver didn't make the playoffs. But it sure sounds from everything I read from over there right now, people think the sky is falling, do they not? Am I reading that wrong?
No, you're not. It's a panic state, especially after last night's loss. On Calgary, though, you talk about winning, and I know Brian Burke has talked about this. He mentioned it on the starting lineup this morning here in Vancouver. They're winning, but the process is not perfect. If you're in that Flames room, if you are the coach, Jeff Ward, is that a problem? Or at this point, the fact that you're picking up W's, that's all that matters?
Yeah, I mean, results are all that matters right now. They had a game on the road in Nashville, you guys probably remember, where they allowed the game-tying goal with 1/10 of a second left and then lost it in overtime. I would have argued before that happened that might have been their best effort of the year, maybe their, you know, top three efforts of the year, and yet they walk away with a devastating L. And they take no solace. You know, they took solace in getting 1 point, but not in the fact that they let that game get away and they lost that second point. So it's all about results now. I think early in the season, you can kind of talk about the process and be happy with, you know, how you're playing. But now you're only happy whether you get the points or not.
We've seen Jeff Ward go into his team a couple of times since taking over behind the bench. I was kind of wondering after last night, you know, the Canucks have given up a couple of third period leads, and Travis Green keeps coming out, has the same demeanor, tries to paint a pretty picture of where the Canucks are at and keep a positive mindset. When is the right time for a coach to push that button and go into his team a little bit?
Oh man, that's a really good question. Like, you know, if every guy knew, they would push it at all the right times. I'll just say this, cause I've seen coaches like Travis come in there and every single day just paint that pretty picture, no matter how bad this guy is falling. But Jeff Ward has come in here and preached honesty. He wants honesty between his players. They've made line changes throughout his tenure as their interim head coach based on suggestions from players. Like, you don't hear that around the National Hockey League. It's always been, you know, the coach will make the decision and the troops fall in line or else. This guy's all about open door policy. And I think honesty is what he talked about. I want my players to be open and honest with me, share their feelings. If they think we should make line changes, if they think we should make goaltending changes, I want to hear what they have to say. I make the ultimate decision, but I want to hear what they have to say. And so in that same vein, I think he's trying to be as honest as possible with them. When they really do come out flat and lack intensity or whatever it is he's criticizing them for, I think he's just being very open and honest like he's preached from day one. And that's refreshing as a journalist to cover a team who's not going to sugarcoat it. And it's also refreshing, I think, as a player to hear a guy, a coach, be honest and open at every turn.
Eric, appreciate the time as always. We'll talk soon.
Cheers, boys.
There he is, Eric Francis.